Turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I shall begin reading with verse 9 and read through verse 22. The Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, who was the first bishop of the church at Ephesus. And I want you to listen very carefully to the reading of God's Word. My subject is leaving a sick man behind. And in the language of the prophet Jeremiah, in the 8th chapter and the 22nd verse, he raised this question: is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And your pastor this morning desires to have the balm of heaven's mist and the tenderness of the great physician as we consider this subject, leaving a sick man behind. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of old Nesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Notice verse 20. And particularly the last part of the verse. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Leaving behind a sick man. Now, not only do I want you to learn who Trophimus was and where Miletum is and why Paul left him behind, but I want you to learn again that a heresy that is sweeping this world is that men still have the power to heal people as they preach that divine healing was in the atonement when Christ shed his blood. But I read in Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And this is what the charismatics and the divine healers misinterpret: and by his stripes we are healed. And they affirm that healing of the body was in the atonement. Now, if that were true, every person whose transgressions have been forgiven and whose iniquities have been washed away would never be sick, because they would have been healed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a Christian would never get sick. And if a Christian never got sick, a Christian would never die. And I hope that you'll pray for your pastor this morning as we examine thoroughly. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. The word Trophimus means nourishing, or like one who is an healthy person. Trophimus, first of all, was of the country of Asia. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, as we study those who were with the Apostle Paul, he mentions Sopater of Berea. He mentions Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius and Timothy, all of Derbe. And then he mentions Tychicus and Trophimus as being from the country of Asia. We not only learn that Trophimus was from Asia, but the Bible tells us very distinctly what city he was from. He was from the city of Ephesus. For in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 29, the Jews in that city who despised the Apostle Paul and the preaching of the gospel stirred up a mob against Paul to try to get him killed, because they saw Paul with Trophimus in the city of Jerusalem, and later they said, Trophimus, who is of Ephesus, or who is an Ephesian, went into the temple with Paul, and being a Gentile, polluted the temple of God. So Trophimus was not only from Asia, and from the city of Ephesus, being an Ephesian, but Trophimus was a fellow minister and a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And Paul mentions his traveling companions and said, Trophimus and Tychicus are of Asia that are with me. They come down to the city of Troas. And when they come down to the city of Troas, they tarry there several days. And it is here in Troas that Paul preaches until after midnight one night, and a young man in the third loft falls out of a church building, and Paul raised him from the dead. And another credential for apostleship is to have the power to raise somebody from the dead. Amen. I saw a man on television this week that said he had raised three people from the dead in his evangelistic services, and I want you to know he's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. Amen. Now then, as they go to Troas, the Apostle Paul elects to go on down to Assos. And he says, you later sail and come and pick me up there. And for some reason, known only to Paul, the Holy Spirit, and God Almighty, Paul went on foot. And then later Trophimus and these other brethren set sail and picked him up at Assos. So Trophimus must have been very much loved and respected of the Apostle Paul, because he was a fellow minister in the gospel. And if there's any area in the world where there ought to be kindness and there ought to be love and there ought to be consideration and honor, it's among those whom God has called to preach the gospel. Now, where was Miletum? Miletum was a port city on the Aegean Sea, and it was the capital of Ionia. If you'll get a map and look, you'll find not only Troas and Assos and Chios and Samos and Miletum, but you'll also find Ephesus and Coos and Rhodes and Patara, and all of these were a part of the country of Ionia. And here, this port city of Miletum was a very important city because it was the capital of Ionia. It's very near Ephesus. because it was here at Miletus where Paul and Trophimus and these other brethren were gathering that the 20th chapter of Acts and the 17th verse tells us that Paul sent to Ephesus and had the Ephesian elders to come down from the church at Ephesus to Miletus that he might preach to them and give to them his farewell message before his trip to Jerusalem and then on to Rome. I'm sure that many of you thought that that great message in the 20th chapter of Acts was delivered at Ephesus. It was not. Paul sent for the brethren at Ephesus, and they came to where he was at Miletus. And in this city of Miletus, it is a city where one of the greatest sermons that Paul ever preached was delivered as he spoke to the brethren there. And Trophimus is present. And let's hear what Paul says in this great sermon. In the 20th chapter of Acts, verse 28, he says to the elders or to the preachers, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now let's examine what he said to the preachers. He said, "Take heed to yourselves, and not only to yourselves, but take heed to the flock of God, and remember it was the Holy Spirit who placed you over the flock of God." And hear this, preacher, this morning, no man should be a pastor anywhere unless God's Spirit has placed them there as leader of the flock. And if you get politics out of the ministry, and you'd get conniving out of the churches today, and would hold an old-fashioned prayer meeting and depend upon God's Spirit for a pastor, I believe there'd be a lot less churches in trouble when the Holy Spirit places a man over the flock of God. Then he said to these elders, "You've been placed over them, you feed them." And I pray every day that when I enter the sacred stand, that I'll have something to feed the people of God. Because this day and time, they're being fed milk, they're being fed gimmickry, they're being fed trash, they're being fed the social gospel, they're being fed everything except the preaching of the Word of God, and the main responsibility of the preacher is to feed the flock of God over the which the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer. Amen. And then Paul said in this great sermon in the 29th verse, "For I know that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And I want to warn you once again that what it will take a man of God years and years to build up through sacrifice and suffering and through being true to the preaching of the Word, a grievous wolf or a false prophet could come in and destroy, not in 30 days, but in 3 sermons, what had been built up upon the Word of God. And you better believe there are still wolves in sheep's clothing in this world. What else did he say? In this great sermon, he said, "And not only so," verse 30, "but there shall rise up among yourselves men speaking perverse things, making disciples to follow after them." And any time anybody in any church anywhere wants to build a clique around him or build a clique that they would follow a person instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better take warning. We should not follow men this morning. We ought to follow the preaching of the Word, and we ought to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want the members of this congregation to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. I want you to follow him. But Paul said, "There arise up among you, among your own selves, men speaking perverse things to get disciples to follow after them." And once again, I want to praise God there are not any cliques in Tabernacle. Amen. and I say this very kindly, there never will be as long as I'm the under-shepherd. Amen. All right, Miletum then was a port city, the capital of Ionia. It was very near the city of Ephesus. Miletum was a place where Paul preached one of his greatest sermons. Now he takes his leave from Miletum. And he says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now this is just as simple as ABC. Why did Paul leave him? The Bible says he was sick. He left him not only because he was sick, but he was so sick that he was unable to travel. And leaving this sick man who was so sick until he was unable to travel, we find no bitterness on the part of Trophimus or anybody else in the traveling party, but we find this man reconciled to the will of God. And there are times in the life of every Christian when we are sick that we must bow ourselves to the will of God and say, Thy will be done. Amen. Now, Trophimus got well. Because later in the 21st chapter of Acts, when Paul is in Ephesus, or when he is in Jerusalem, this Ephesian Trophimus is seen with him ministering to Paul in the city of Jerusalem. So this man he left sick at Miletum gets well and later joins him in Jerusalem and becomes a strength and a benefit to the great man of God, the Apostle Paul. Now we get to the core of the sermon. Some practical lessons we need to learn from the statement, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. We learn, first of all, that neither Paul nor any of the other ministers that were with him attempted to heal Trophimus. You want me to name them again? Sopater of Berea, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, and Timothy all of Derbe, and Tychicus from the same place Trophimus was, Asia, and not one of these preachers sought to heal the sick man that Paul left at Miletum. And we ought to get a lesson from this. And the second thing we learn is that God never intended in any dispensation to heal everybody that's sick. I go to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, and I see my precious Lord as he comes to Nazareth. That was his hometown. I see him going into the synagogue, as it was his custom, and as he begins to preach. And during the course of that sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ said, during the days of Elijah, when God shut up heaven for 3 years and 6 months and it did not rain, and when famine was sweeping the land, that Elijah went to only one widow woman of the country of Sidon, of the town of Sarepta. And he said there were literally hundreds of other widow women, maybe thousands. And yet during this great period of drought and famine, God in His sovereign providential will did not send Elijah to all of them. He sent Elijah to one widow woman. Am I right or wrong? And Jesus knew they would be familiar with Elisha, who was the successor to Elijah. And he says, and I want to tell you folks something else here at Nazareth, that in the days when Elijah was preaching or Elisha was preaching, that there were many lepers in Syria. And he said, God did not send Elisha to all the lepers. God sent Elisha to only one leper during that time. And who can tell me what that leper's name was? Nathan. Literally thousands of lepers in the land. God in sovereignty moved Elisha to go to one leper Naaman, and he healed him. So God never intended to heal everybody of all their diseases. Amen. Now stay with me. When Jesus preached this, those in the synagogue got angered at him. They thrust him out. They took him to the brow of the hill. They would have killed him. But he made his way through them. And if you want to stir up theological fire, and if you want to see hatred brought down on a preacher of the gospel, let him stand and tell the world that these divine healers today are not in the will of God, and they'll hate Baptists with a purple passion when they'll put their arms around everything else and every heresy in all the world. Amen. Now, another thing we need to learn here, that even in apostolic days, common and practical sense was used in illness. Now, get your shock absorbers on. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter and the 23rd verse, Paul said to his favorite preacher, "Drink no longer water, but use a little what, tell me? Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." And here, one of Paul's favorite preachers, young Timothy, did not experience some miraculous healing, but instead Paul said, "Don't drink any more water, and instead you drink wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities." And I believe with all of my heart this morning that God gives us enough sense and reason to use that which man has on the scene to help any illness that we may have. Amen. Finally, Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick? Proves to me that all divine healers this morning, every last one of them, is nothing but a sham of a devil and a mockery to the Word of God. In 2 Timothy, the 11th chapter, or rather 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 13, Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Recently, one of our members, Mrs. Lockhart, stayed flat of her back for over 4 weeks with serious back trouble. I visited and prayed. I did not attempt to heal. Mama Baines, God bless her, with a low body gradually wearing out, and the spirit still alive and vivacious and great, has had many trials, especially this year, physically speaking. And as I've prayed with that old saint of God, not one time did I give her any false encouragement by saying that I could heal her. Murphy Bacon is in the hospital. I left him there sick. I didn't try to heal him. We have others in our midst this morning who are it, and who need the prayers of God's people. But just recognize this, that God in His mercy always gives His children the grace to bear whatever affliction may come their way. Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick? Of the country of Asia, of the city of Ephesus, a fellow minister and traveler with the Apostle Paul. Miletum, the capital of Ionia, there near Ephesus, a city where Paul preached one of his greatest sermons. Paul left Trophimus there because he was sick, too sick to travel, and he left him there reconciled to the will of God. We learn that not one of these preachers tried to heal Trophimus. We learn that healing for everybody has never been intended or revealed in the Word of God. We learn that practical sense and common sense and judgment was used even in apostolic days and should be used today. And I conclude, as I did just a few moments ago, by way of emphasis, that your divine healers today are not men of God, but they're shams of the devil. Amen. Let's sing, Bob.
Number 254.
Number 254.